Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. We regret the delay, but the next phase of the chapel remodeling project is being done. A prototype of the communion rail is being made and will be approved this week. Then the two communion rails will be built and are due to be completed the latter part of August. Thank you to those who helped mow and trim the landscape last Friday. So we have the blessing of articles after Mass. We will not have benediction. The next phase, which is the communion rails, will be done in the latter part of August, although we're looking at prototypes this week. And also thank you to all those who came and mowed on Friday. The feasts for this week, today is the feast of St. Thomas More and St. Veronica Giuliani. Everyone's familiar with the St. Thomas More story. But although being a very upright, honorable man and a holy person, he became a saint during his time in prison, where he prayed and became very close to God. So that's the tip for everybody. No matter what we're going through, prayer is always the answer. And St. Veronica Giuliani, 18th century Capuchin nun, and people say about her that her writings are as voluminous and uplifting as even St. Teresa of Avila. But she's not as well known. Her works have not been translated. But she had the stigmata, and she said that she was so united with our Lord's passion and death that the instruments of his passion and death were written on her heart. And everyone thought she was speaking in hyperbole, but when she died, they examined her heart, and those instruments were actually sketched on her heart. She was, although that's the case, and the other priests visited her body and everything. Despite all the spiritual part of it, she was ahead of her time in bringing into the convent in the 18th century all of, at that time, modern conveniences, running water inside the convent, things like that. So the two are not incompatible. Tomorrow is the feast of the seven holy brothers and Saints Rufina and Secunda. Well, whenever we have an opportunity to point out the errors of the modernists, it's always fun to do. And tomorrow is one of those days because, similar to the feast of Saints John and Paul, which was in June, where in the 1950s and 60s they discovered where they were buried in their home to undo the modernist hagiographers who were telling us we're not sure if they even existed. I don't know if you remember that dramatic story. But these are the seven holy brothers where the modernists again tell us that's not who they were. But it's a story of the mother and her seven sons and how she encouraged them to give up their lives for Christ, and it tells what happened to each one of them. Each were separated and judged separately and then executed in a different way. But their story goes back to the early centuries of the church. Enough on that. But Saints Rufina and Secunda were two blood sisters who were engaged to marry two Catholics, again, early church, 3rd or 4th century. And these, their fiancés apostatized. And so they broke off the engagement because they weren't going to marry apostates. And that's what the cause of their martyrdom was, because they would not do that. Tuesday is the feast of St. Pius I. He was a pope, and he was the one, again, you can see how ancient these people are. Second century, he is the one that said Easter Sunday will not be the actual date that our Lord rose from the dead, but it will be the Sunday. So that they were sometimes celebrating Easter on a day of the week other than Sunday, and he's the one that fixed it for Sunday. Wednesday, St. John Gualbert. You know his story. I'm going through some of these saints because they're just these highlights are telling us so much for our own lives. St. John Gualbert, 11th century, lived in Florence, Italy. We get the word vendetta from these times because these people were so attached to their honor, their family, and everything that, you know, they would go to all lengths to make sure the scales were always balanced out. And so his brother was killed. And so he did the vendetta. And on Good Friday, he came across, it was quite accidentally, he came across his brother's murderer on Good Friday. And the man was unarmed and unaccompanied. And he just fell on his knees in front of St. John Gualbert. And he just took his arms and put them across his chest to make a cross. And he just, in the name of Christ crucified, spare me. And the saint was instantly converted. He was about to kill him. And he was instantly converted by that and went on to become this great saint. And Friday is the feast of St. Bonaventure, second founder of the Franciscans, the one who was in charge of the exhumation of the body of St. Anthony and saw the miraculous preservation of his tongue, that which was used to praise God. He saw this. He wrote a hymn about it. He was the one commissioned by the Pope to write the text for Corpus Christi. This is a non-story about St. Bonaventure, if you want. St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure, the Dominican and the Franciscan, the two contemporaneous saints, were given the job by the Pope to write the mass and office texts for this new feast of Corpus Christi. And they brought their work to the Pope, and St. Thomas read his first, and St. Bonaventure had his work. And when he heard St. Thomas's work, he tore his up. One wonders what that must have been like. Another saint's writings on the script on the Holy Eucharist. And then Saturday is the feast of St. Henry the Emperor. Again, just think of the 11th century. How the faith had already permeated these people, that this, he had gone through all of the ranks. He was a duke and then the king and then he became the emperor. And how they were so imbued with the spirit of the faith that he had pledged to the Pope he would do everything he could to extend the kingdom of God in his country and empire. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are now well into the season after the Feast of Pentecost, and we know, as the vestments are showing us, that we are in this great time of what the color green represents, the rebirth, all of the summer around us, all of the green that we have, the hope that comes to us from a new beginning. And that's what is the overriding spirit of the season of Pentecost, the hope that we have that passing through all of the things of the first half of the liturgical year, we now have the wherewithal, because we have our Lord himself, who came down among us, died on the cross so he could take us back to heaven. We have all of the means within our grasp to become saints. So this is the season of sanctity. We always say, if by the last Sunday of Pentecost, we cannot test ourselves and say, I'm better now than I was last year, then we have failed in this season. So we have a big job ahead for ourselves. But the overriding sentiment is one of confidence. And that's what the introit is telling us. This was a psalm which, by the way, was used for the introit of last Sunday too. So it's being repeated. We have it again in the communion verse, a verse from it. This was a psalm composed by David. Was it his worst moment? But he was being hunted, and he made this prayer to God, which we have, Father has read in the past in sermons, we will not do, but read it if you have the time. Psalm 26. It is a hymn of hope and trust in God. And how David said, despite everything that's against me, no matter what, I will always trust that you will take care of me. Of course, that's what happened in his life. And you know what? That's what's going to happen in your lives too. You have to believe and you have to hope. And that will spring and make you pray. You have to pray. You hear it all the time because it's the air we breathe spiritually. If you are not praying, you're suffocating yourself. If you're not praying enough, you're not giving your soul the oxygen it needs to get to heaven. He who prays will be saved. And in this particular Mass, our first Pope and our Lord himself in the Gospel are bringing before us, as we start building what are these lessons, and our Lord told us before he died on the cross at the Last Supper, he said, I will send the Advocate, and he will remind you of the things I have taught you. So it's during these days we are reminded by Holy Spirit through the church in the Mass text what we are supposed to be doing. The gospel, now, the theme, of course, is that we must not only have faith and hope, we have to have charity. Now, we know the two great commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor. And the interesting thing is that the love of neighbor is often the indicator, well, in fact, it is the indicator, of our love of God. So we who proclaim ourselves as followers of Christ, but we do not have any concern for our neighbor, hold grudges or whatever. That's telling us we really don't love God. That's the importance of this virtue, especially in terms of our neighbor. And so that's what is being talked about in today's Mass. And the great obstacle to mutual charity among the faithful, that is this sin of anger, which, by the way, we have to just say, we've heard it in the past, but to remind everybody, anger is actually something that we are born with. It is a passion, part of our human nature. So it is something that God has given us. So therefore, you know what? God saw all that he created, and he saw that it was good. So you know what? Anger is good. What is wrong is what we call inordinate anger. That is anger that is disproportionate to the situation. What is anger? Why did God give us anger? You know, God gave us fear also, where it's told, don't be afraid. Well, God gave us fear also, so we would know the limits. So we don't just go running off the edge of a cliff, because I'm not going to be afraid. Well, obviously, that's insane. We have been given fear so that we avoid dangers and take the steps necessary to preserve life. It's a natural power. So why did God give us anger? So that we would be able to overcome obstacles. If something is in the way and is preventing something that needs to be done, anger gives us that force to be able to overcome the obstacle. The problem is, when something gets in our way that is there for a good reason, someone is there stopping it. Now I'm talking about inordinate anger. The obstacle that we see is someone trying to do us good. Someone is commanding us, don't do this. And we use our anger against a good thing. That's inordinate. Inordinate means it is not proportioned to a good end. That's when we have a sin. That's when anger is excessive. It can also be not only excessive, but it can be insufficient. When we do not stir up anger to be able to get over an obstacle. So there's a fear in the way. The soldier in battle, he's afraid, which is wise because he'll be cautious. The great generals used to always say, if a soldier does not have fear, I don't want him. The generals would say, I am afraid. He would tell that to the soldiers so that they'd understand. The general himself would say, I am afraid. That's what keeps me in line. But I don't let that fear become inordinate, that it blocks me from doing what I must do. I can stir up my anger to overcome the obstacle. But if it's insufficient in my anger, I can fail that way too. We usually think of it as excessive. But those people who do not stir up themselves to overcome something, they're failing in this regard too. But that's what anger is on the natural order. That's why God gave it to us. But here, God has to go through a great deal of emphasis to teach us something, that because of original sin, all of our passions are all disordered. And so we very easily fly off the handle, because we do not control these passions. And that's something that we're going to be doing during this season. So our Lord, in the great constitution on the spiritual life, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, this is the first thing he spoke. He spoke from the highest principles of the spiritual life and came down from there. So he started with the Beatitudes. This is in St. Matthew chapter 5. He starts with the goal, what we're trying to do. Blessed are these people. And then he starts to come down and he starts to say to the apostles, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You must go out and spread this among the people. And as soon as he finishes that, this is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He's done what I just explained. And then he says the words of today's gospel, unless your justice, unless your holiness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that say about the scribes and Pharisees if you hear that? If they remain in their own way of thinking, they will not be saved. So we don't want to be like them. And then he says, and the first thing he talks about, of all the practical things he can talk about, is he takes the fifth commandment. He says, you know that you are been taught, thou shalt not kill. And we think way back to the consequences of original sin. And after Adam and Eve and their fall, what is that first sin that we're told about? It's told about, we are taught about killing because Cain killed his brother Abel. So as the Genesis tells us, our Lord is following that same method. He's starting with the first crime. So we think back, as the commentators for today's Mass tell us, to think of Cain and Abel and to see what God said to Cain. And what it was, if you remember, they offered their sacrifices, Cain and Abel, and Cain's was not as well pleasing to God as Abel's. Cain was angry about that. That's what the scripture tells us. And God asks him, why are you angry? If you do good, then you have no reason to be angry with your brother. Because see, implying that is that Cain did not give the best in his sacrifice, and he recognized it. Cain did. And so God said to him, you must overcome this, because if you don't, this anger, this jealousy, it will hide at your heel. And unless you turn and conquer it, it will overcome you. And of course, that's what happened. Cain gave in. Well, here our Lord picks that up. He says, you know, thou shalt not kill. That's what the scribes and Pharisees, that externalism. And he says, but I say to you, see, our Lord is saying, I am the lawgiver. Not Moses. I am. I am the one saying it now. And then he says, if a person has anything against his brother, he says, you will be liable to the judgment. Then he says, if you say to your brother, you are raka, you are empty-headed, then you are now liable to the Sanhedrin. The judgment was just the local people that would judge something. Now he's saying, if you take it from beyond just the evil thought about somebody, but now you actually say something to him, well, you're empty-headed. Now he says, that goes to the next level of judgment. That's a worse crime. That's what our Lord's doing. By the way, well, the first one is internal all the way. The second one is now external, but it's not killing somebody. And the third one, he says, if you then go ahead and say that he is a fool, the scripture people tell us, that means a rebel against God. He says, now you are subject to the fires of Gehenna. That is hell. You see what our Lord's doing. He's saying it's not just killing somebody, but it's the internal thought. And then, okay, you see, St. Augustine goes on to tell us in commenting that we must attack that first movement towards anger. And he says, do not retain any bad feelings towards people, even if they have offended you, and you are right to be offended. St. Paul tells us in his epistles, be angry, but do not sin. There's true anger, but not inordinate. And here is St. Augustine saying, when you have something bad like that, banish it from your thoughts. In modern parlance, they talk about people do not like to dwell on negative things because it just drags us down. This is the same thing. These are negative thoughts if you just put it in the modern psychological terminology. So we don't want that. We want to fight it from the beginning. It's like, you know, you're trying to do your gardening, especially this time of year. You got to pull that weed out as soon as you see it. You wait till it becomes a tree, and you got to bring in a machete. That's That's the principle that's going on here. And in St. Peter, which you cannot take the time really needed for that, what he has to say there, but he does tell us this, that not only should we turn away from evil, but we should do good. We should seek peace and pursue it. And we've talked many times about how the Mass is geared towards peace. We're asking for peace. Lamb of God, grant us peace. And then it goes on to talk about that as we prepare for communion. Because we're supposed to be at peace with God and with the rest of the mystical body who are joining us in communion. So St. Peter tells us this fraternal charity that we must have that overcomes anger and controls the tongue. See, St. Peter's the one who heard our Lord say these words. And our Lord said, you have the thought, don't go saying somebody's a fool, raka. Don't say that. So St. Peter now, giving his commentary, says, do not say evil things. You hear him saying that in the epistle. He goes on after this account, but in this, just the next verses that are not here, going on to say, look at our Lord as your example. No one was persecuted and suffered as much as he did, because he was innocent. And what did he do? Did he curse those who cursed him? He blessed them. And he said, that's what you must do. So when we are offended and we recognize, God give us a grace through our guardian angel, to recognize something as, okay, don't think about that. You know what? Not only don't think about it, turn away from evil and do good and seek peace. So what you should do, pray for that person. You see what's happening? You are being sanctified. Instead of falling, you're actually growing in love. So that when we come to Mass, as a Mass like this, and receive Holy Communion, we are in union with our Lord. We are seeking that peace that he wants to give us. And then the words of that Psalm 26 again, which are the words of the communion verse. So the words we want to have in our heart at communion time. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what this season's about. Today is the day to start. May God bless you.